the Republican Party.
The battle against terror.
I'm Mitt Romney.
Get ready for the All-American Nightmare. This is the T.J. Thompson Show. I let the good girls bad and bad girls laugh. Nice guys
are last, as I'm always best. I'm a freak, go sucker for how it. Have you read the bill? Hell no, you haven't.
If this were a dictatorship, it'd be a heck of a lot easier, just so long as I'm the dictator.
And good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is the T.J. Thompson Show. And who am I? Oh, yes, I am the All-American Nightmare, the one, the only, T.J. Thompson. And thank you for joining us tonight. Had a nice little extended vacation, if you will. But also some good news coming out of that extended vacation. And that good news is the fact that I am getting a brand new studio. So, once that happens, there will be a lot of things that we'll be able to offer. Not just this program, but also some enhanced content, as it has been referred to, on tjthompson.com and other outlets as well. And hey, good news for you. If you don't catch the 8 p.m. broadcast every day on indianatalks.com, well, you're in luck. And that's 8 p.m. Eastern, by the way. You can catch the show at 11 p.m. Eastern on the 405 radio starting today, the 1st of April. No, this is not an April Fool's. And I know there's been a lot of people and places and outlets doing April Fool's, but this is not one of them. Go to the 405radio.com, 11 p.m., you can check this show out right here. So if you can't listen to it all at 8 o'clock or whatever time zone you're in when this is airing, if you can't hear the early show, you can catch the late show on the 405radio.com. So we're expanding our audiences and having some fun doing it. So outstanding. And I'm just going to jump right into some news. And I saw this, so I got to start it. I have to start with it, because it talks about the Golden Girls. And it was on Mediaite.com, and the headline says, "Did the Golden Girls nail it on marriage equality 20 years ago?" So, of course, a lot of people in my age group know the Golden Girls. Not a lot of guys admit to watching the Golden Girls, but we kind of did. So, it says, the Golden Girls, NBC's classic sitcom about four senior and spunky ladies in Miami, tackled a variety of social issues over its seven-year run. But perhaps it's this clip from a season six episode in 1991 that is most relevant today. While their outfits and home furnishings are certainly outdated now, in some ways the show was ahead of its time. In this episode, when Blanche's gay brother Clayton announces he wants to make a formal commitment to his partner, Blanche can't quite accept it until Sophia lays down some pearls of wisdom. And what is this clip? It is this right here.
Blanche, I've been thinking about Clayton and Doug, and I have a question.
What?
Why do men have nipples?
I have no idea.
You think it's because God has a sense of humor and isn't as uptight as the rest of us?
It's easier for you to say that, Sophia. It's not your brother who's getting married to a man.
Oh, look, I can accept the fact that he's gay, but why does he have to slip a ring on this guy's finger so the whole world will know?
Why did you marry George?
We loved each other. We wanted to make a lifetime commitment, wanted everybody to know.
That's what Doug and Clayton want, too. Everyone wants someone to grow old with, and shouldn't everyone have that chance?
Sophia, I think I see what you're getting at.
I don't think you do. Blanche, will you marry me?
Thank you, Sophia. I need to go talk to them.
Fine, but I'll need an answer. I'm not going to wait for you forever.
So there you have the Golden Girls clip when it comes to gay marriage. And by the way, is there any better argument than that right there? You can be against it for all your religious reasons that you want, but luckily, this is not a theocracy. We don't have to abide by your religion. Not everyone should be held to what your religious book says. Or, by the way, should they be held to the way you interpret that religious book? So really, that is the simplest, easiest, and best, I don't even want to say argument, simplest, easiest, and best reason for it to be permitted. But just in case that doesn't quite do it for you, there's another kind of, I guess you would say, reason, if you will, that could be provided, another argument that could be made, and it is all constitutionally based. And to have the constitutional base means it's the law of the land, essentially. Now, and yes, I'm covering this today because last week, of all the weeks for me not to be doing the show, to take that vacation, it had to be that week. It was poor planning on my part. Had to be the week that the Supreme Court hears cases in gay marriage and the Defense of Marriage Act. But this is probably the best written piece I've heard on this topic. It's at fortherepublic.blogspot.com. It's written by Alex Kaufman. And here it goes. The U.S. Supreme Court is considering same-sex marriage over the course of 2 days. Yesterday, when this was written, which was Wednesday, March 27th. So on Tuesday, they considered California's Prop 8, and Wednesday, they will hear the DOMA argument, Defense of Marriage Act. It says, marriage is equality to a touchy subject, in no small part because so many irrelevancies crop up in the discussion and muddy the waters. I say let's strip away the irrelevancies in order to discuss the subject plainly. Let's eliminate one irrelevancy right away. Just because the Bible prohibits something doesn't mean that civil government has any cause to prohibit it. The United States is a constitutional republic, not a theocracy. End of story. That argument being unequivocal, the next absurdity which emerges from that camp is the idea that legalizing same-sex marriage must also legalize polygamy, since unfettered marital choice must allow the option of marrying multiple partners. This argument fails for one very simple reason. Gay couples are asking to be married under the same conditions as straight couples. One of those conditions is that a person cannot have more than one licensed marriage at a time. Polygamy is a red herring. Then there's the biological argument. Since homosexual couples can't procreate, their marriage is invalid. Please go find a heterosexual couple without children and inform them of this right away. Some people argue that gay marriage is an invented right. Since the Constitution doesn't address marriage specifically, it may be regulated at will. Sorry to burst the bubble, but the Supreme Court of the United States has already ruled against them on that count. In the most aptly named case of all time, Loving versus Virginia. The court ruled that the right to marry is one of the numerous rights protected by the Ninth Amendment. Quote, gay marriage is not a distinct right from straight marriage. Marriage itself is a right and must be freely available to all persons who may lawfully exercise it. It est all persons who are of the age of majority and not mentally handicapped. To argue otherwise is to argue that a liberty may be converted into a privilege, which directly violates the Supreme Court ruling Murdoch versus Pennsylvania, which said, quote, no state shall convert a liberty to a privilege, license it, and attach a fee, end quote. Then comes the conservative legal argument. The Supreme Court of the United States considering this case is akin to the Supreme Court considering Roe versus Wade, in that advocates, are asking the federal courts to overturn an action of a state democratic process. I respond with the following. 1. That is precisely the function of the United States Supreme Court, to overturn democratic acts which violate individual liberties. We live in a constitutional republic, not a democracy. 2. Roe was an attempt, and a miserable one at that, to resolve an irresolvable conflict between two diametrically opposed viewpoints of personal liberty. The last time such a conflict of liberties occurred, 500,000 Americans killed each other. I won't address either the Civil War or the abortion debate. I mention them to point out that same-sex marriage is not an irresolvable conflict of this type. Person A's exercise of religious rights is not in any way affected by persons B and C's gay marriage, except in the one circumstance I will address below. This is an issue of equal protection, plain and simple. A minority wants to enjoy the same privileges and immunities enjoyed by the majority. And 3, on the subject of states' rights, states don't have rights. The United States is a constitutional republic, not a conglomeration of oligarchies. I am frequently astonished by how often I must remind my fellow Republicans of this fact. States have powers granted to them by the public or prohibited them by the Constitution, and one of the legitimate functions of the federal judiciary is to ensure that these powers are applied consistently to all persons. The one circumstance referenced above with respect to the exercise of religious liberties is the prospect that individual gay couples or gay advocacy groups will use legal actions or other means to harass churches and businesses for choosing to not participate in same-sex weddings. This is not only a legitimate concern, it has already happened multiple times, and it will continue to happen. For this reason, were I a legislator, I would refuse to vote for any gay marriage bill which does not include specific protections for those who choose not to participate. If you, the reader, support gay marriage but aren't of the same mind, then you are a hypocrite. We must preserve the rights of all individuals, including the freedom of individual conscience and the freedom of choice. At the opposite end of the spectrum is the stock standard libertarian position that government shouldn't be in the business of licensing marriage in the first place. To this, I respond thusly. I agree wholeheartedly. However, eliminating marriage licensure is simply not going to happen. Continuing to bring it up serves no purpose but to change the subject away from this debate and attempt to capture some degree of perceived intellectual superiority in the process. We must address the facts as they currently exist. And then there's this compromise position. Recognize same-sex civil unions in all states. This sounds feasible and moderate enough, with one glaring problem. A civil union is not a marriage. There are inequalities between marriage and civil unions. Inheritance issues, immigration issues, health insurance and tax filing problems, etc. Even if these issues were all resolved perfectly, however, a civil union would still be less than a marriage. The Supreme Court of the United States determined a long time ago that separate but equal was not a legitimate form of equality. Now that we have eliminated all of these irrelevancies, I pose the following question to those readers who oppose marriage equality. Without making biblical argument, a biological argument, sidestepping the issue with fantasy scenarios, asserting fallacious legal argument, imposing a Jim Crow-era legal doctrine, falsely comparing gay marriage to abortion, or converting the right to marry into a privilege, I ask this. What else about gay people marrying bothers you so much that it's worth defying the Constitution and continuing to lose popular support for the rest of the conservative agenda in order to continue its prohibition? And to take out the parenthetical notation of that last part, what else about gay people marrying bothers you so much that it's worth defying the Constitution in order to continue its prohibition? Which I think that, by the way, as I said, in my opinion, is the best breakdown of the entire situation and the entire quote-unquote argument, because he addresses essentially every single problem or obstruction that comes up in these debates and in this discussion. So that's great. Your religion's against it. Outstanding. But because your particular religion's against it, does that mean everyone else can't enjoy the same freedom to marry that you have? really. And by the way, I love that I'm all for equality, equal rights, marriage equality, whatever you want to call it. Yes, absolutely, I'm for that. And I am astonished at how many times I've been called, some liberal lefty or what are the, I don't know what the other terms they are to describe these lefties, but also people are like, dude, I didn't know you were gay. I'm like, I'm not gay. I'm just not a bigot. I don't discriminate. Simple as that. So people wonder, how can you have so many conservative viewpoints and conservative values and support this? Because I'm not a bigot. I don't discriminate. How hard is that for people to understand? That's what really bothers me. And how, especially if you read the Loving versus Virginia case, which said that blacks couldn't marry whites in the state of Virginia. That was in the 50s. That was in many of our parents' lifetimes. And we look back and go, God, how stupid was that? Just because two people aren't the same color, of the same pigmentation of their skin, they can't get married? Jeez. How stupid were they back then? Guess what? In 25 or 30 years, I'm sure my son will look back and go, wow, I can't believe you guys didn't allow this stuff. That's stupid. So at least I hope we can get to the point where that is looked back at and gone, wow, how stupid was that? Thankfully, they rectified this. So that's my hope. That's my, maybe I should say my dream, that everyone is essentially equal. We all have equal rights. We all have equal liberties. There is no discrimination. So I think that's the ultimate goal, is it not? I mean, wasn't this country founded on a document that said all men are created equal? We have certain inalienable rights. Among those include life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. So if we're all equal, and we all have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, who the hell are we to intervene and say, no, your pursuit of happiness is not right. It is against the law. Even though when that pursuit of happiness is not infringing upon the rights of anyone else. That's the only reason things are illegal, because they infringe, or should be illegal, is because they infringe on the rights of another person. They impede someone else's individual liberty. And I've heard the argument, well, I have to look at these gay people in public. Turn your head. That's not impeding on your personal liberty or your freedom. Don't look at them. Don't talk to them. You have the freedom not to see them. So what do you say we actually live up to our founding documents and actually finally agree under the eyes of the law that all men and women, of course, are created equal? And how about we start providing equal rights, equal liberty, equal freedom to everyone, since we're all created equal? How about we allow everyone to have their pursuit of happiness equally without government impeding? What do you say we try that? It sure as hell hasn't been tried since day one. We had slaves. Then we had Jim Crow. We had all these separate but equal and all these discriminatory, bigoted laws. We had Japanese internment camps. You're American citizens, but sorry, we're just going to have to throw you in this prison camp until the war's over. And now we're doing it with gay people, and as the Supreme Court ruled, marriage is a fundamental right. Except for those people who aren't exactly like us, right? Yeah, it is really as stupid as it sounds. So that's my take on this whole issue, and I will do my best not to dwell on it until the court comes down with a ruling in probably June. Maybe July. I can't remember the duration of the timetable they're expected to hand down a ruling on these cases. But if anything else happens from the courts, I will let you know. But we're going to jump into a break. And when we come back, we're going to have a little bit about Egypt, Pat Robertson, and James Holmes, the crazed gunman from Aurora. And when I say crazed, I don't mean that tongue-in-cheek. This dude seems legitimately nuts.
In-Laws and Outlaws Gun Shop at 777 East Main Street in Gas City, Indiana is your one-stop shop for firearms, ammunition, and reloading supplies. Stop in and talk to their friendly staff with years of experience in hunting, the shooting sports, and military-style firearms. They carry a huge selection of modern sporting firearms, handguns, and shotguns with one of the biggest inventories around in very competitive prices. In-Laws and Outlaws Gun Shop buys, sells, trades, and consigns, and they are an authorized Glock dealer. Stop by. They are open Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Give them a ring at 765-573-5877. Or like them on Facebook at facebook.com/InLawsOutlawsGunShop. In-Laws and Outlaws Gun Shop. America.
Aye, laddies, looking for something new for dinner tonight? The Rusty Dog Irish Pub in Huntington is your perfect choice. The pub features steaks, prime rib, seafood, and Irish favorites like shepherd's pie, bangers and mash, fish and chips, all in a relaxed Irish atmosphere. Voted Huntington's best restaurant and bar in 2012, the Rusty Dog Irish Pub is located at 32 North Jefferson in downtown Huntington. Hours and menus are available on the pub's Facebook page. That's the Rusty Dog Irish Pub.
Stay connected through social media, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, iTunes. Go to tjthompson.com and get connected.
And welcome back to the TJ Thompson Show. And I don't know if, I'm not sure how this next story I want to talk about is really going to be perceived, but Pat Robertson is continually a source for idiotic sound bites and stupid statements. I mean, just go back and listen to what we said about Hurricane Katrina, the Haiti earthquake, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But now, Pat Robertson seems to have the answer why more miracles seem to happen outside the United States. Check this crap out.
And who says, why do amazing miracles, like people being raised from the dead, blind eyes opened, lame people walking, happen with great frequency in places like Africa and not here in the United States? What can we do to encourage those things to happen here? Is America too far gone for miracles like this?
Those people overseas didn't go to Ivy League schools.
Not quite.
In case you didn't hear that, them people overseas didn't go to Ivy League schools.
That's simple.
Well, we're so sophisticated. We think we've got everything figured out. We know about evolution. We know about Darwin. We know about all these things that says God isn't real. We know about all this stuff. And if we've been in many schools, the more advanced schools, we have been inundated with skepticism and secularism. And overseas, they're simple, humble. You tell them God loves them, and they say, okay, he loves me. And you say, God will do miracles, and they say, okay, we believe him. And that's what God's looking for. That's why they have miracles.
Yeah.
That's why they have it, because they're simple, humble people everywhere other than the United States. We're so sophisticated. Apparently, we don't need miracles. Now, regardless of your view on religion, how about we take a more logical approach to this, Pat? The United States is about 4% of the global population. So maybe that's why, because how many times more people around the world than here? What is that, like 13 times more people
around the world than the United States. Could that be part of the reason? I don't know. Perhaps. Maybe. Maybe mathematically, the laws of probability say that these miracles are going to happen somewhere other than here. Statistically, could that be it? And I do have to wonder, does he say that the simple people around the world, does that mean dumber, not as educated, not as intelligent? Or does he mean living by simpler means? Or does he mean not as well off? Could be. Possibly. Who knows with Pat Robertson? But just, I feel that I had to bring it up because it is Pat Robertson. Now, on to sophisticated Ivy League people like Pat Robertson referred to President Obama. The Associated Press, I read this this morning on my iPad, and I was kind of surprised to see this out there, to be honest. The Associated Press essentially called out the Obama administration. Let's talk about how they've limited press access in ways that past administrations wouldn't have dared. Yes. I found that very, very interesting. Because in a time when the conservatives and Republicans, as you know, which are not the same thing, in a time when they're talking about the uber liberal media and how they cater and pander to the Obama administration, they're sympathetic to the Obama administration, that they would call the administration out like this. And here's just one snippet of this article that is very interesting. It says, quote, in his first term, Obama engaged in 107 short question and answer sessions with reporters during events in the Oval Office, the Cabinet Room, and similar settings. President George W. Bush, by contrast, had 354. By the same token, though, Obama held twice as many solo press conferences as Bush, 36 compared to 17. And in the first term, Obama did 674 interviews, TV, radio, internet, print, compared to 217 for Bush and 191 for Clinton. Now, end quote, by the way. For Clinton, I think throwing in Clinton's interview count is a little, I don't know if I should say unfair, because the internet wasn't as big and accessible and fast, also, let's not forget that, as it under Clinton as it is now. That's, to me, just kind of askew, trying to make the argument even stronger for the author at the Associated Press, which, by the way, was Nancy Benac, B-E-N-A-C. And what, by the way, one thing she kept referring to the Obama PR team to, which I actually kind of liked it. She calls it the quote, Obama image machine, end quote. I thought that was a nice touch. So it's quite, I guess you could say, astonishing perhaps to see or hear, or witness, if you will, the media calling out President Obama for what he's doing. Is this the way the media has been all along? And people in the general public are just now waking up to this and pointing out these articles? Or is the media turning on the Obama administration? Or is the romance over? They realize, okay, we've been through one term. And what good came out of this one term? We still have troops in harm's way. We still have troops dying. Guantanamo's still open. Taxes just went up at the first of the year for everyone, thanks in part to the healthcare law that was enacted. The payroll taxes just went up. And they still haven't sorted out anything to do with the debts and deficit. Maybe we, as media organizations, should start being tougher on this president since he just got elected to a second term. perhaps he's not meeting expectations. Perhaps he doesn't have the clout to work with Congress or to make Congress work together to get things done. Perhaps this guy isn't everything we thought he was. Perhaps he doesn't have the charisma and the influence that we perceived 4 or 5 years ago. Maybe we should start being a little tougher on him and see if we can spring that attitude out of him. That could be a possibility. Who knows? But the fact that they're especially calling out the White House on media availability, I really think shows that they're starting to crack down on the Obama administration, and not just President Obama, everyone, the entire administration, the entire cabinet, etc. So I'm glad. I hope more people call him out. I hope more people take this route. And more than just the limiting the press, which, number one, I think is a hugely important issue on the limiting the press access, because we do have freedom of the press. President Obama is a public figure. I really hope they start cracking down on him like this legislatively, saying, look, how about policy-wise? It was his policy to end the war in Iraq, his policy to end the war in Afghanistan, his policy to close Guantanamo. But instead, we now have inmates at Guantanamo held for a decade or more on a hunger strike since February, demanding their release. They've been held without charge, without trial. And I will get to more of that story tomorrow. But what has he done? This is really a what have you done for me lately. What has the president done other than insert blank here? I really can't answer that question. So I'm glad the media is cracking down on it. I'm glad especially the Associated Press. This isn't some, Dubuque, Herald access or writing this article or anything. This is the Associated Press. So I like it. I hope more comes out of it. And I would really, really love to hear a response from the Obama administration about this limiting press access. I don't expect it, but I would like to see it. I'm not going to hold my breath. That's for damn sure. For damn sure. Because they don't like to address the press, clearly. Now, we're going to jump into our second break, and of course, as I said, the stylish beard and hair of James Holmes, the Colorado shooter, we're going to talk about him, what's happened with that, and of course, and also something from Rick Sanchez at Fox, which kind of surprised me. In Egypt, their version of John Stewart, as he's been tagged, stands up to the Morsi regime. What does he say, and what happened? We're going to find out in just a few minutes. Stick around.
Need to rent a car, truck, or van? Time to upgrade your vehicle? Zay Leasing and Rentals offers a full line of vehicles to meet all your needs. Whether you're looking to rent a car, truck, or van for that special vacation, or purchase the car of your dreams, Zay Leasing and Rentals in Huntington has just what you need. Give Andy a call at 888-356-1588 or visit them on the web at zayautos.com. Zay Leasing and Rentals, we're here to keep you on the road. If you've ever wondered whether you're breaking the law, you probably are. But don't worry, so are the rest of us.
Don't chase me, bro!
Technically That's Illegal is a book written by a local author that shows you just how easy it is to be on the wrong side of the long arm of the law. Besides doing a general overview of ill-conceived laws across the country, author Ann Satley also read all of Marion, Indiana's municipal codes and found herself, an otherwise law-abiding citizen, to be in violation of several codes.
To the jury, and I will not permit you to do so.
I object.
Read Technically That's Illegal before it's illegal. Go to www.technicallythatsillegal.com for information about how to order the book in paperback, e-reader, or audiobook formats. TechnicallyThat'sIllegal.com, where there are no law-abiding citizens.
Hey!
subscribe on iTunes. Go to the iTunes store and search for The T.J. Thompson Show. Welcome back to the T.J. Thompson Show. We are in the final stretch of the program here tonight, and a surprising tweet, and it might be a legitimate question, coming from Fox's Rick Sanchez. Former CNN anchor Rick Sanchez, and he's back on Fox News Latino. And he's also a reporter for Mundo Fox. And by the way, Rick Sanchez got fired a couple years ago, I think it was, for some things he said on CNN, and they canned him. Now, he's asking, I think, is always a legitimate question, about some decisions made on NBC. He asked this weekend whether NBC's Jenna Wolfe was demoted at the Today Show because she's a pregnant lesbian. Wolfe made the announcement last week that she and NBC foreign correspondent Stephanie Gosk are expecting a daughter this summer. This past November, Wolfe was demoted to Today Show's Weekend Edition newsreader. Formerly been a co-anchor of the Weekend Morning Edition. And Rick Sanchez's tweet says, quote, "Wonder if Jenna Wolfe's terrible demotion on the Today Show was because NBC didn't want a then soon to be pregnant lesbian as co-host. I hope not." End quote. And yes, I think that's a legitimate question. Is that why they didn't want a pregnant lesbian to be a co-host? Did they not want a pregnant lady as a co-host? Did they not want a lesbian as co-host? I think all of these are valid questions. What is the reason she was demoted from weekend co-host to weekend newsreader? Newsreader. That's a hell of a demotion from co-host. If she was just not good enough as a host, great. Fine. I can live with that. But when it comes to something like this, I hope they don't owe us, the viewing public, a reason for anything. But I surely hope they gave Miss Wolf a proper, legitimate reason as for her demotion. And honestly, I would like to see if she addressed it. I really do. That would be very, it would be nice if she could, so maybe if Rick Sanchez is just kicking up dust, but if he's not, maybe she could weigh in. And if he is kicking up dust, I hope she shuts him up pretty fast. So, that's just my take on that. Like I said, NBC doesn't owe the public a reason or an explanation, but I hope they gave Jenna Wolfe one, because my thought here is, what if it is because she was a pregnant lesbian, or soon to be pregnant lesbian? Could she have a discrimination suit against them? Will that fly as discrimination? So I just wonder, is this, could NBC maybe be in some hot water over this? Could they not? You never know until someone comes out. But now, from some crazy things to crazy people. James Holmes, the Colorado movie theater shooter. He entered a guilty plea. I don't remember which day it was last week. He entered a guilty plea in order to avoid the death penalty. But guilty plea has been rejected. U.S. prosecutors rebuffed a reported offer by Colorado theater massacre suspect James Holmes to plead guilty in exchange for escaping the death penalty, some legal documents have shown.
as prosecutors, or I'm sorry, a prosecutor's filing cited by the Denver Post and other media was scathing about a defense motion Wednesday which suggested a guilty plea in return for a sentence of life behind bars with no parole option. Saying, quote, there is not and never has been an actual or unqualified offer to plead guilty, end quote, prosecutors wrote, saying they are extremely unlikely to accept an offer unless they got more details from Holmes and his lawyers. The 25-year-old is due in court Monday, which was today, for a hearing at which prosecutors are expected to say whether they will seek the death penalty for the mass shooting, which left 12 people dead in July. Now, will they seek the death penalty? Of course they will. How do I know this? Because it already happened, of course. James Holmes deserves to die for killing 12 people in a storm of bullets inside a packed Colorado movie theater one night last July, said prosecutors in a hearing today. Arapahoe County, I hope I pronounced that properly, Arapahoe County District Attorney George Brauchler, B-R-A-U-C-H-L-E-R, said in court, quote, for James Egan Holmes, justice is death, end quote. So clearly, they are seeking the death penalty, which I can't say I don't support. So enough about that. Just an update there, and I really hate to give this guy any airtime, period. But it's worth noting that something is happening, and hopefully, this is over quick and fairly for the families involved. But now to one of my favorite Democrats, simply because he's either an idiot, a buffoon, sometimes, not often, but sometimes makes good points, and other times he just spazzes. And that would be the big guy on Fox News' The Five, Bob Beckel. Big Bob. And apparently this evening, he, as one outlet called it, flips out. He flipped out. And the segment was the outrage, or discussing the, whatever you want to call it, manufactured outrage, perhaps, over the Obama's Easter service reverend, apparently. And apparently Beckel had had enough and flipped out, as they say. So let's take a listen to some of this, and we'll probably hear the back and forth about the service. We'll probably hear a sound clip of the service, and then Beckel's spaz.
Well, we hope that all of you had a very happy Easter. Now, millions of Americans went to church yesterday, including President Obama, but most of you probably didn't hear your priest or your pastor imply that half of the country were racist, misogynistic bigots. But that was the Easter Sunday sermon for the president. Now, Reverend Luis Leon, the 63-year-old pastor at St. John's Episcopal Church in Washington, D.C., used his pulpit to deliver a scathing attack on conservative Christians. And as reported by several news outlets, Leon said, quote, it drives me crazy when the captains of the religious right are always calling us back. For blacks to be back in the bus, for women to be back in the kitchen, for immigrants to be back on their side of the border. And so I'm guessing, Eric, that this was a very different message than you heard yesterday in church and a lot of us out there. And it just seemed to me, on a day of such inspiration and arguably the holiest day, this was probably not the right message.
Probably not. My priest actually went through John 20, which is the verse that talks about when Mary Magdalene found Jesus' tomb open and his body was gone. But then at some point, John, who wrote the chapter, also said he was one of the disciples who ran fast to the tomb, basically calling himself from the third person the faster runner than Saint Peter. So that was the message at my church. The message that President Obama and family heard was the religious right, the captains of the religious right are trying to bring blacks back to the back of the bus, are trying to keep women in the kitchen and immigrants over the border. Who are these captains? Who are the captains that he references?
Rick Santorum, captain number one. Why not?
I'm not sure who he's referencing, but I certainly not sure I like that that's the message on Easter. By the way, I think he offended 2 million Christians, 2 million worldwide when he went
Bob,
there.
Bob, you're religious, you're a Christian, but this is not your typical Christian message of division and hate. And to Eric's point, Who is he talking about?
Well,
who?
First of all, let's try to step back a little bit. You said in your opening that they insulted half Americans out there. He was talking about the captains of the religious right.
Who?
You want to name one?
Who?
Pat Robertson.
There you
Here's
go.
One for you.
And you think he's a bigot?
I certainly do.
Why? Because
Pat Robertson, by the way, who we talked about with insane statements earlier in the show.
I also think he's the one who said that the reason we have...
He has different religious beliefs?
Excuse me. He doesn't have different religion. We read from the same Bible. The difference is that the tolerance that Christ showed is Pat Robertson clearly didn't get that message because he's attacked gays in the worst kind of way, accused mm-hmm. them of being responsible for all kinds of natural disasters. I mean, this is a guy who is, as a leader of the Christian Coalition, which now fortunately is bygone days, uses that position to say the most ridiculous political things. I don't think this guy should have done this.
Can you do me a favor? You're saying Pat Robertson did. Where do you have you heard Pat Robertson Robertson be a racist, a misogynist, or an anti?
I've heard nothing about putting women back in the kitchen from Pat Robertson.
Reverend Leon did not say anything about gays. He said blacks. He said women.
Yeah, he also said gays and keep gays in the closet. But let me just say, everyone's saying he did. Wait a second.
That was tweeted by someone.
Okay.
I haven't heard confirmation of that yet either.
Do I think it was a good message on Easter Sunday?
No.
Do I think that the only reason we're running this story is because Obama was in this church? Of course that's why we're running the story. So
bingo. Bob Beckel, right there, as I said, sometimes Bob Beckel makes good points. And the only reason that this preacher or priest or pastor, whatever you want to call him, the only reason anyone gives a rat's ass about what his sermon said and what he said in this sermon is because President Obama was sitting in the church. Does that mean President Obama agrees with everything? Of course not. Does it mean that that's the views of the president and his family and his administration? Of course not. But like Bob said, the only reason anyone even really gives two dams about what this priest said is because the president was in the audience. That's it. Trying to find another reason why this would be even be news is fruitless. Good luck. There's things said worse than this, I'm sure, every year in various churches, but they don't make the news, not headlines, and they're not discussed this much. So find me a legitimate reason why this is news.
That all you conservatives could beat up on.
Kimberly, Jay Carney was asked about this today. I want you to take a listen to what he had to say about...
Again, that right there. How many other sermons has Jay Carney, the White House press secretary, been asked about? Probably very, very few that doesn't involve the president sitting in the audience.
What the White House is saying about this very inflammatory sermon.
Was he surprised? Were you surprised that the Reverend Leon decided to get so political and attack leaders of the religious right at one point saying that they want, quote, blacks to be back in the back of the bus? It seemed sort of odd for Easter. Were you surprised by that?
Well, I wasn't there, and I have not spoken with the president. This was a sermon at a church here that's been visited by presidents of both parties for many, many years. And I think, I don't have anything more on it for you.
It's probably a tough predicament for him, Kimberly, but this church is very, very, very liberal. They have openly gay, non-celibate priests. They have had a gay bishop in the past, and not as an...
Okay, wait. This church is very, very liberal. They have openly gay priests and had a gay bishop in the past. Ooh, how liberal of them. Hey, how about you call them a non-discriminating church? There's a thought. There's a really radical thought. You know what? No, they don't discriminate. If their priests are gay, big deal. Their priests are gay. Gay is natural. Celibate is not. Just a point.
Inflammatory, but in 2001, this same reverend urge President Bush in a political way to put an end to xenophobia. So he does have a history of preaching politics from the pulpit.
Politicizing his sermons, and that's what he did. I don't think this was appropriate. I mean, Bob, you were the first one to say that it was inappropriate for Dr. Ben Carson to politicize the National Prayer Breakfast.
I think this was
so you should, equally take issue with this situation, which I think is far worse because it's Easter Sunday, and for him to make these inflammatory remarks, especially in a house of worship that is known to be the place of worship of presidents, and then to do this and to call out these specific groups is really not the Christian message of what Jesus would want to be said in a church. I'll tell you
the president seems to attract these types of radicals. He must have felt right at home. I mean, this is right off of Reverend Wright's playbook right here.
Yeah, of course, the president attracts these radicals. He would feel right at home. Of course he would. Yeah, he just attracts them because that reverend was only there because the president was there. He attracted it. Oh, that's right. This guy was already at this church. Wow. And it's also the same church, same Reverend President Bush attended on various occasions. Yeah, that's a great way to put this, you douche.
And then he did this before.
I don't even know who this guy is, by the way. I don't even know what this guy's name is. He's not important enough for him to put it on the screen.
2010, he went to the Shiloh Church, and the sermon there compared Fox News to the KKK, compared Rush Limbaugh to the KKK, talked about Jim Crow. Should the president have left the pews and just walked right out? I don't really know if he has the stones for that. It would have made a big impression.
Do you think he was trying to impress President Obama or maybe become more political than he has in past because he was sitting in the pew?
Frankly, if we didn't have that footage of Obama walking out of that church, do you think we'd lead with the story?
Well, we have reporters inside talking about what the sermon was. So, yeah, I think
see that picture right there? That's the only reason we're talking about it.
And by the way, the footage Bob Beckel refers to is the priest or the preacher opening the door, the president walking out behind him, turning around and shaking his hand. That's the footage.
Manufactured.
The president of the United States goes to an anti-Christian church sermon.
During
Easter. Listen, love thy neighbor like you love thyself, right? This guy's slamming the religious right as a bunch of bigots. He can't give any example.
Okay, this guy right here just kind of contradicts himself. Anti-Christian church because love thy neighbor as you love thyself. When one of the quote-unquote captains of the religious right, Rick Santorum, clearly does not love gay people. He doesn't like them. He doesn't support them. He doesn't even think they deserve equal rights. So, talk about anti-Christian. How about Bible thumping Rick Santorum? Start there. Start Pat Robertson.
He said captains of the religious
right. Is that message divisive or not?
And I thought it was inappropriate. However, that does not excuse a number of people who politicize from the pulpit on the right, like Pat Robertson. I think everybody ought to stop politicizing from the pulpit.
The point is, the president attended the service.
It's Easter service or any other day, any other religious day, any day. You shouldn't use the pulpit of any church to get into politics.
Why didn't Jay Carney condemn him then?
How wishy-washy.
Jay Carney would have just said, listen, we don't agree with his comments. What he said was inappropriate. The president didn't know he was going to say that, and it's Easter.
What baffles me is that President Obama has had a history of sitting in controversial churches, and he actually disassociated himself, even though he really can't, with a church and Pastor Jeremiah Wright after 20 years, two decades sitting in the pews. You would think that Jay Carney would stand up and say, we don't agree with this kind of rhetoric. Yeah. However, this is the exact same rhetoric we heard, Kimberly, during the presidential election about the war on women and the bigoted comments.
So perhaps that's why people weren't so surprised, because we've heard this kind of thing before. You know, and if I were the president, I'd be very careful to distance myself from this kind of inflammatory, bigoted sermon that he shouldn't even be listening to. If he knows, you know, who this reverend is and the kind of message that he gives, I mean, I wouldn't be caught in there, no way, especially Easter Sunday.
I think in fairness to this minister, he's been here for about 8 or 9 or 10 years, and he has not had a history of inflammatory comments. If everybody would preach the word and forget about politics, you know, when Paul said, give up to the Romans, what was the line from the Bible? Give
What?
Yeah, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's. I mean, it's just not, there's no place for this here.
So then, why are you? Agree?
Yeah. Why?
Because
are you
I think because
one
I think
side
that
of your
the
mouth
reason,
is saying there's
the
no place.
I,
the other side
no,
is saying okay.
The reason I'm saying this is that I think this gives us it gives those of you who don't like Obama a perfect launch pad to attack.
It has nothing to do with liking him or not. The problem is we take issue with the sermon, with the message. It was inappropriate. You say this reverend doesn't.
It has nothing to do with liking the president. If they take issue with the message and the sermon, then why don't they take issue and exception with Mitt Romney's magic underwear? Just a thought. How about they don't take issue and exception with Mitt Romney's religion, a known fraudster magically digging up gold tablets in the ground with no one around? No, it's because you don't like Obama. That's the only reason, and like Bob Beckel said, this provides the perfect launch pad for those who don't like the president to attack him. I believe it's absolutely true. And these are the kind of things that, as I called Eric Bolling's little war on White House tours, it's a weapon of mass distraction. It takes away from the real issues, the real things, the real problems, and doesn't talk about enough solutions to the problems that we all face. That's what they're doing here. They're not talking about anything legitimate. They're not talking about anything real. They're not talking about anything that matters to anything other than their own personal dislike for the president. That's it. That is it. So how about we all, meaning we collectively are a group of voters and concerned citizens, how about we all start flooding them on Facebook and Twitter and even letters to Fox News and everywhere else? Get rid of the stupid issues, the irrelevant issues, the really non-issues, and start talking about relevant ones like the budget, the debt, immigration. There's an immigration, almost an immigration agreement between 8 senators, which I hopefully will have some more documentation to be able to talk about tomorrow. What about that issue? Why didn't they spend 11 minutes on that? Instead, they're talking about a church service no one else would have given a rat's ass about any other time. Weapons of mass distraction. Hence the reason I say avoid cable news. Because they don't talk about the real issues, they don't address the real issues. And that's a problem. Because they have millions and millions of viewers. So, speaking of real issues, tomorrow I will have some, hopefully some good details, but a nice outline and overview of the immigration agreement being hopefully brought to the Senate through the gang. I guess they call it a gang of eight Republicans, 8 Democrats. They're working out details, as it was said earlier. Lindsey Graham and Marco Rubio are each members of this group. And as Lindsey Graham was quoted earlier today, and I read on the Associated Press, they still have to hammer out a few details. So hopefully we'll have a lot about that for you tomorrow. So, I hope they can come to something to get things under control immigration-wise. So until then, we'll see you. Enjoy yourselves, because I am out.
The T.J. Thompson Show is a copyrighted broadcast and may not be reused or retransmitted without express written consent. The views and opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily represent those of the broadcasting station or of anyone else.